All right, in this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to headline BKFC 50, which goes down on September the 22nd. And this individual is going to be challenging for the BKFC Cruiserweight Championship as Chris Camozzi takes on Lorenzo Hunt, two elite individuals knuckling up and toeing the line. And great getting to have Chris back on the show. How's everything going today, man? You having a solid day so far?
Yeah, today's been great. I just got home from strength and conditioning and just in time. Sorry for being a little bit late, but got caught up in some traffic. But yeah, my morning started early and training all day.
Oh yeah, no worries at all. Very minor difference, man. Happy to, you know, be flexible and make it work. But like, you're talking about this, you know, particular camp. Like, I was seeing a recent post where you were saying, I haven't been this locked in and focused on a fight in years. Like, it seems like there's a lot of factors that would be going into that. I mean, obviously fighting for a title here, facing a guy who's like a pound for pound ranked guy within the sport. Are those factors why you're as locked in and focused on this fight as compared to, I mean, obviously you're a very focused guy in general. So that's why I guess it struck me as kind of an interesting thing to see there. Just like, this is the fight where you're like especially locked in and focused. So would you say it's mostly those factors, I guess?
Yeah, somewhat. You know, another thing is just the fact that fighting for a world title is something I've always wanted to add to my career and accomplishments. So for me, when that came about, I was like, I want to make sure I do everything possible to win this fight. I don't want to look back and have any regrets about it or wish that I had done more. So I took some time away from work and everything else I have going on just to fully focus on this. Whereas before, I was, you know, working. I have a lot of other like revenue sources going on, business and stuff, where it takes time. So I wanted to make sure that I was 100% locked in and focused on this, again, so that I don't look back and have any regrets and wish I did more.
And I'm curious, I guess, just to when this opportunity got on your radar, because when we were last talking, you were saying another knockout win here should get me that title shot, and it did pan out in that kind of way. So, like, when did this bout offer initially come your way?
I would say I knew about it probably a few weeks before they actually announced it. But since my last fight, I just started training for this fight anyway, because I was like, you know, somewhat manifesting it. Like, I'm going to make this happen. You know, looking at the division, I looked at the rankings, and some of the guys in the rankings haven't been active in a year or even more. So I looked at that and, you know, Lorenzo Hunt's record and who he's beat, and he's already beat a few of the guys in the rankings. So to me, it made complete sense. And obviously, Feldman and Bare Knuckles saw it the same way as me, because, you know, I've put on good performances. I've had a long career. I've been all over the world. And when I look at those rankings, I was like, man, there's nobody else that should be fighting for the title other than me.
Yeah, I mean, this is someone that you've kind of had on your radar since you, I mean, debuted even. Like, you got a sub 40-second knockout in the Bare Knuckle debut and just immediately kind of put the proverbial crosshairs on Lorenzo. So it would seem like kind of like the, I mean, obviously you have plans after this, I imagine, but like the culmination of a journey in a certain sense, just, you know, actualizing into reality something that you've, I mean, obviously clearly wanted from the beginning.
Yeah, of course. I mean, even before I signed with Bare Knuckle, I looked at, you know, the divisions and I was like, who's there? Who do I want to fight? And, you know, in all honesty, I wanted to fight Lorenzo because, yeah, he is one of the pound-for-pound guys. I would say he's probably the face of the promotion and probably the most successful fighter they have. So, you know, us being fighters, of course I want to fight the best because I want to prove that I'm the best. So I wasn't looking to kind of weave my way through the division. I just wanted to go right after who's the best and establish myself as pound-for-pound and the best there.
Yeah, for sure, and definitely a great opportunity, you know, to do that here. And yeah, just so many tendrils to, you know, how this has been built up. Like, I thought it was kind of cool that they were, you know, doing the dynamic where it's like Lorenzo was, you know, cornering Bryce Hall and, you know, you're cornering G Perez and stuff like that. Just in terms of like the entirety of that timeline, like the lead up and the actual fight and even some of the, I guess, residual fallout from the fight. Like, what was that whole experience like from your perspective? Like, how involved were you in G's camp? Like, just what was the entirety of the experience like, I suppose?
You know, it was fun promotional work. G has been my cut man a few times for Bare Knuckle, so I knew him a little bit. We had never trained together, or done much work together, but I was going to be in Albuquerque anyway. And I know G's coach wasn't able to corner him or make it. So he was looking for a corner, and it just seemed to make sense with Lorenzo coaching Bryce Hall that I could step in since I'm going to be there and corner him. So really what I did was warm him up and then obviously coaching in the corner. But other than that, we hadn't really worked together too much. But he's a good kid, man, and I was really rooting for him. I'm bummed that he got hurt. And, I think he's going to come back better. It'll just take a little bit of healing up, I'm sure.
Yeah, great sort of promotional work, as you put it. Like, I imagine the Lorenzo fight was already in the works or kind of going on behind the scenes when that was all set up there, I would guess.
Yeah, they had actually already announced it a few days before that. So the public knew that we were going to be fighting, and yeah, Bare Knuckle thought it would be just a little fun concept where we're across the ring from each other, not fighting each other yet, but having two guys that we're coaching fight each other.
Yeah, no, definitely makes a lot of sense for sure and everything like that. And I would think that, you know, there's a lot of factors as to why this would be an important one for you. Like, you were talking about the world title and, you know, really actualizing a dream into reality there, but it seems like it's always a little something extra for you getting to fight in Denver, just like growing up there and stuff like that. So how important is it to you to have this opportunity be taking place in Denver? I think it'd be huge.
Oh, it's massive to me. Again, fighting for my first world title, you know, I'm 17 years into my career. So being able to win that belt in my hometown means everything to me. You know, I look back and I was like, man, I don't think I've even lost a fight in this city. I believe lost one, and that was like maybe 2008. You know, it's been a long time. So that's just a chip on my shoulder right there. There's no way that he's coming to my city and going to beat me. I'm keeping that belt here, and being able to celebrate with all my friends and family right here in our hometown is going to be amazing. Something I'll never forget.
And as we're kind of talking and just really, you know, going over the resume you have, like you mentioned, the wealth of experience you have across multiple combat sports and some of the, you know, biggest leagues on the planet. If you get your ideal outcome in this one, like how much, I guess, of a statement win would, you know, beating a guy like Lorenzo Hunt be? Like how much of a capstone kind of achievement would that be in like your broader martial arts efforts you've done?
You know, I think it's a massive statement. Like I said, as far as bare knuckle, the sport of bare knuckle boxing goes, he is kind of the name and the guy. So beating him just shows that I can come into another sport and win, be successful, be champion. You know, I went into kickboxing. I immediately signed with Glory Kickboxing, which is the biggest kickboxing organization. And I had never kickboxed before competitively. I obviously trained it for MMA, kickboxing and Muay Thai, but I left the UFC and I signed with Glory, and a lot of people thought that was a bad idea because I hadn't really competed in kickboxing before. And then I hear the same thing now, you know, these guys, Lorenzo likes to say that I'm too new to this, but I've just shown in the past, like, when I come in, you know, I take over. So that's what I plan on doing September 22nd as well. I'm going to show him that all this wealth of experience does matter, even though he doesn't think fighting in the UFC, fighting in kickboxing, he doesn't seem to think all these matter and that they're actually a negative for me because I don't have enough experience here. But the fact is fighting's fighting, and I've been fighting far longer than he has.
And it seems like from what I can glean, at least on like certain interactions you guys have had or just even like social media, etc., like it seems like the, I guess, temperament for this one is like relatively casual. I guess I only say that because like Lorenzo has had some fights where it seems like the banter and just the intensity kind of, I guess, ramps up like a fair bit heading into it. Like, would you say that, I guess, this situation is mostly just oriented to like a, you know, purely competitive sort of dynamic? Like, does it seem like there's any level of like banter or anything like that ramping up from what you can tell? Like, I guess, what's the temperament between both of you heading into this one, you'd say?
Obviously, you hit it on the head. You know, normally he has a lot of antics and he hasn't, so somewhat, what that shows me is that he respects me and that he's working his ass off just like I am. So I want to make sure that I beat the best Lorenzo Hunt there is. And to me, without all the antics and stuff, it shows me that he's training very hard and taking this very serious, no matter what he says. So that's what I'm looking forward to, you know, because for me, I'm over here working every day, in and out. You know, I'm putting everything I can into this, like I said. So it shows me that he's taking it real serious and that he has respect for me, just like I have respect for his skills. But at the end of the day, I'm leaving their champion.
I'm curious to have you expound upon the work a little more, because in like a, you know, cross training, almost like being on the road kind of sense, like I was seeing a couple instances of you at like SBG Ireland, for instance, like teaching jiu-jitsu, which seemed like a cool experience for you, but also getting in a bit of work at, you know, Jackson Wink when you were kind of in the area. But as far as like a, I guess, primary gym, like where are you, you know, sharpening the proverbial tools ahead of this one?
You know, I'm at my home gym. I train at Genesis here in Denver, or Argata, I guess, just outside of Denver. That's where I've been at, you know, for the last few years. Other than when, you know, when I travel, I always get working at other gyms. But for me, I've got a solid stable of training partners and sparring partners right here at home. So we get guys coming in all the time, you know, from out of state and everything. So I always get to mix it up and change it up with different partners. So I get different looks everywhere. But yeah, you know, traveling is big for me. I love traveling. But one thing I've always done is found gyms that are super welcoming and let me come in and train wherever I am. So even when I am gone, I'm not missing the work.
And I just love your, I guess, like, mind for just the game and receiving information. Like, even in, like, a bare-knuckle context, I thought it was cool that you had, like, an NHL enforcer on a bit ago, and you guys were kind of going over, like, knuckle techniques on the podcast there. So it seems like you try to, like, I guess, glean info from whoever you can.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've always been like that. I think that that's what's given me success in my career is I go in without any ego, and I'm always willing to learn from just about anybody, because I think that you can learn things from anybody out there. You know, everybody has something of value to offer, you know, and if they don't, then you just don't use it. But I'm surrounded by a bunch of people with a ton of knowledge. So I try to be like a sponge and just take what I can use and use it. And the stuff that I can't, you know, I put it on the back burner.
And we talked about this last time a bit too, like it seems like a big help as well to, you know, have your partner be so involved in fighting. Like it looks like Whitney Johns has really put in a lot of work. And I mean, I was seeing like even a bit after our first talk there, the decision initially like there didn't go her way, but like really turned it around and got that, you know, great win in July there. So can you kind of talk about that a bit and just how important it is to, you know, kind of have that dynamic there with, you know, Whitney Johns also competing in combat sports with Kingpin Boxing there?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people wondered if it would be a distraction, but I didn't think it was at all, because helping train her, you know, my coach and I were the ones coaching her. And I think teaching, a lot of times you go back and you see things that are steps maybe you forget or you're skipping. So teaching to me has always like refreshed my mind and not taking shortcuts on techniques and things like that. But having her training for fights also is great, because, you know, we're in the same household. So we're both dieting. We're both working out every day. There's days where, you know, I've been tired and sore and I'm like, oh, maybe I'll take today off. And she's like, no, we're going to the gym. We're going to do cardio. We're going to do this, and vice versa. You know, I push her as well. So I've never had that in a relationship before, but having both of us be on the same kind of path and same mission is a huge help, because when I'm over here dieting and all these things, she is too. So it's just, you know, we feed off each other and it helps a ton.
Yeah, I love hearing that, and definitely seems to, you know, be the case here. And I guess in talking about this fight, I feel like we've mostly touched on more of like the, I guess, resume components Lorenzo brings to the table. But in terms of like some of the better stylistic attributes he has, like what would you say he really does well, like X's and O's wise inside the BKFC ring?
What he really does well? Let's see. I mean, he's obviously got power. You know, he's been knocking everybody out, so you can't look past the power that he holds, and he's very explosive and quick on his feet, which are all things that, you know, I'm working and focusing on to capitalize on, because everybody's strength can also be a weakness if you use it right.
Yeah, and I was going to say, maybe just because of like what this moment represents, this isn't even in your mind at all, and obviously like wouldn't, you know, bring it up in a way to, I guess, overlook the immediate challenge, but we kind of touched on it a bit earlier there, like talking about how like a lot of the ranked cruiserweights in BKFC right now, like maybe, I guess not like the most active, but like the last time we talked, it seemed like you'd at least had a certain, I guess, awareness of like the general landscape, like certain guys, like, I guess, like Houston Alexander, etc. Like, do you have in your mind, like, I mean, if you get your ideal outcome here, do you maybe have an idea of who could be that like first contender for the championship, or is that like so far in the back of your mind, it's not something you're mulling over at all?
Yeah, I mean, that's not even registering in my brain at all, because I've got one mission right now, and that's beating Lorenzo Hunt. After that, you know, when you're champion, it's everybody else's job to establish themselves in the division and try to, you know, get ahead of the pack, so, which is what I did. So I would say once you're king on top, then people got to come to you. So I'm not looking past him whatsoever. I haven't even thought about another name or anything. It's just one name every day. You know, I watch him fight every single day, and that's my complete focus.
Yeah, and obviously didn't mean that in any way to Lorenzo. Tremendous respect for sure, but I guess I also brought that up in a certain context, because like one of the last times we were talking, it was like you were almost kind of doing your BKFC deals like on like a fight-to-fight basis almost, but it seemed like you were interested in maybe coming to like a multi-fight agreement if you get to like the level of, you know, being a champion. So I didn't know if you were even thinking of things in that kind of sense, but I get why you'd be so hyper-focused on this next one, just the, you know, size of the task and all.
Yeah, absolutely. You hit it perfect. You know, the size of the task here, and it's just one mission, one focus. And that's how I think that we accomplish goals better, is by focusing just on one thing, getting that, and then we look at the, you know, look at the landscape, look at what's ahead. BKFC is growing insanely fast, so who knows who could be signed by the time I win, or what other names come in, or what performances other guys put on. Because it's always changing, you know. So for me, it's just focusing on September 22nd first, and who knows what the future could have after that.
Yeah, I get what you mean. Good way to look at it. And just kind of talking about, you know, different milestones, etc. Like, I mean, you're coming up on the 1 year anniversary of the, you know, BKFC debut. I'm kind of curious, like the areas of your game you've noticed like the biggest strides in as you kind of ready for this sort of like landmark, just like I said, being close to that 1 year mark within, you know, the BKFC ranks. Like, what would you say some of the bigger aspects of your bare knuckle game that have been like bolstered and improved over that time period?
I mean, I think everything has improved since then, because one thing that's cool, you know, coming from MMA, where there's so many different aspects of the sport, you know, you gotta do jiu-jitsu, wrestling, boxing, Muay Thai, you know, ground and pound, you got to do strength and conditioning. There's so many things to work that it doesn't feel like there's enough hours in the day sometimes to get it all done. So when I came to bare knuckle boxing and just started focusing on boxing, it allows me to improve a ton, because, again, it's just one focus every day. It's two hands. So I can sharpen those up over and over and over. And plus, you know, I can hit mitts, I can spar, I can drill. But I'm just focusing on two hands, you know, head work, all upper body, which really simplifies training. So it allows me to become more of a specialist instead of, you know, being decent or good in all these aspects. I can focus on being great with just my two hands. So I like the aspect of just training one dimension right now, because taking my experience and doing that, it's helped me, you know, my strides have been even bigger as far as improvement. So September 22nd, I think you'll see the best version of me you've ever seen in there.
And I guess one of the last things I wanted to touch on, because I know certain fighters are pretty into like practicing a lot of visualization, and kind of within that, they'll sort of develop like, I guess, a dominant visualization for how they see the fight ending. Are you someone who partakes in that? And if so, do you have like a, I guess, prevailing idea of how you see this fight ending with Lorenzo Hunt here?
I do. You know, that's one thing that I've added quite a bit in the last, I would say, 6 months or so. It's a lot more like mental training. Everything from journaling to like writing affirmations to doing like meditative things. You know, Alan Belcher was kind of the first one that got me on that a bit. He was on my podcast and we were talking about it. So he's shared some things with me that he listens to, and we bounce things back and forth. But it's been really cool, because that visualization stuff, I think, is a big key that some people might look over. I know I did in the past, and I'm really liking it now. But for me, as far as visualizing this fight goes, each time I think about every which way I can win. So I visualize winning in, you know, 100 different ways. Now, which one is going to happen, I don't know. But it's always positive thoughts and how I'm going to win every time.
Well, I appreciate that Belcher anecdote. That's cool. It sort of goes back to like what I was saying before about just the studious nature and how you always try to glean information from people. So yeah, it seems like that would be one of your better attributes, just like being coachable and open to these different ideas that maybe in the past didn't resonate as much.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many people out there that have a wealth of knowledge, and I've been fortunate enough over the years to make a ton of really good friends in combat sports, you know, whether it's jiu-jitsu, boxing, you know, bare knuckle, all of them. So I can take something from any of them, you know. Even my jiu-jitsu coach has things to bring to the table as far as like clinch work and stuff like that, where we're really looking to make our own style. You know, my gym, Genesis, has quite a few guys on each bare knuckle card. So my coach, Jake, has really put in the time and effort to look at a ton of fights and figure out things that maybe haven't been done yet or things that people are missing. That's why you're not seeing guys from my gym really like shatter their hands or take a lot of injuries, because I think that bare knuckle's so new that everybody's still figuring it out, and I think that we're becoming one of the leading gyms in there that are kind of changing some of the techniques. And it's hard to go into too much detail without giving away some things, but I think September 22nd you'll see what I'm talking about.
Well, I feel like the incremental progression has been there each fight we've seen of you, and I feel like that will be the case heading into this next one for sure. But, you know, just being mindful of your time and schedule, Chris, I'm sure there's a bunch more questions I could ask you, but I'm sure you got a lot on the go today and everything leading into a big fight and, you know, just life in general. But in saying all of that, I'm curious if maybe you have a final parting thought as we're sort of wrapping things up here, man.
Let's see, you know, I appreciate you reaching out to me, and if you think of more questions, feel free to shoot them over. But as far as parting thoughts go, I would say tune in September 22nd, because there's going to be a new champion. I'm going to hold that belt as long as I want to until I decide to be done.
Well, it's an incredible run so far. I mean, just this unbeaten run you've been on and readying to fight the number two pound-for-pound ranked BKFC fighter and a dual division champion. So, I mean, a lot of ingredients for this being an incredible fight, and definitely stoked for BKFC 50 and ready for September 22nd, no doubt. But until then, you have a good rest of your day, Chris, and thank you for the time.
Thanks, you too. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual who headlines BKFC 50 on September the 22nd and defending his Cruiserweight Championship as he knuckles up and toes the line against Chris Camozzi. Great having Lorenzo Hunt back on the show. How are you doing, man? You having a solid day?
Hey, what's up, man? It's a good day. Yeah, I'm running around here in sunny Florida after the presumed hurricane that never came. And I'm having a great day.
Yo, awesome to hear you're having a great day. And I think it was a great day for fans when this Camozzi fight was initially announced. Like, when did the bout agreement and everything initially kind of get on your radar?
Well, I don't know, since Chris Camozzi's been here, he's kind of been calling me out. I think he called me out right after his first debut, and it was strange because that's the same day that I had went to the Mike Richmond and Doolittle fight. I'm starting to think that perhaps he was even brought into this organization specifically to fight for the belt, you know what I mean? Because, like I said, who comes in day one and challenge the champ? I think it's stupid.
Yeah, so you've made your feelings clear on, I guess, his opposition more so, but, like, even within that, like, what do you think some of his better stylistic attributes are as a bare knuckle fighter?
Stylistically, he's not a bare knuckle fighter, but he's a fighter. Everybody's a fighter. Every man is a fighter. He's a big body. He's a solid guy. He has a solid fight history. He's been in a lot of fights, which doesn't always translate into elite level fighter. You know, he's been in the UFC for years, never been a champion. He's been K1, never been a champion. And there's a reason why. And people will, you know, they will scoff at my at the BKFC and at my championship run, and that I've been the champ for nearly 2 years, consistently defended it, took it. I was the best in the business before I became champion. So it's not like it's hit or miss for me. It's hit. And it hasn't been that way for him in his career, which is why we're here now. You know? And I don't think he has what it takes. But the fans are able to, you know, you can disagree with me up until fight night.
So as like a statement win, this wouldn't really be like a standout one as much on the resume, maybe as compared to some previous opposition you've had?
Well, I mean, just as far as, you know, just another UFC guy coming over and trying to make a statement and getting smashed, no. It won't be as big as the Mike Richmond fight. It won't be as big as the Quentin Henry fight. It won't be as big as me at the Lombard. It's just a guy that came over and called me out. And if he gets smashed, when he gets smashed, everybody's going to say, we knew that already. You know, it's everything to gain for him. And it's nothing to gain for me. I'm already the champ in two different divisions. I'm already the most dominant fighter in the bare knuckle history. I'm already these things. He has to come in here and make a statement. And even if he goes the distance with me, it'll be like, wow, you're one of the only people in the world that could even go the distance with Lorenzo Hunt. You know what I mean? Wow, you didn't get knocked out. It's a compliment even for him standing in there with me. Just, it's a compliment to him. It's like, oh, wow, I can't believe you did that.
I just love the build heading into this too, though, just with you know, cornering Bryce Hall, and Camozzi ended up in G. Perez's corner. And I guess I'm curious to have you expound upon that a bit more, because I saw that post where you were talking about dropping old school game on Bryce, and it seemed like he was very receptive, I guess, to the scale of you saying he was one of your favorite students. So curious to talk about, you know, that experience, just like curating the camp with him and all.
Yeah, Bryce was an awesome dude. He was very, very coachable, very high level IQ. I wouldn't say high level fight IQ, but high level IQ period, to be able to absorb some of the advanced techniques that I was teaching him. I've been fighting the majority of my life. I've been coaching the latter majority of my life. So I can say when a student is really good, you know what I mean? And Bryce is one of those guys who's really good. He actually made it easy for me to be able to teach him and coach him and put it together.
Yeah, just cool to see that, because I know you're one of the higher fight IQ guys in the game for sure. And I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't at least briefly, you know, touch on the last one, because you've mentioned Richmond a couple times. Like, I felt like that was such like a statement performance, like just really showing that champion medal, overcoming adversity and getting such a, you know, highlight reel win. So what were the, I guess, main takeaways from that one?
Yeah, the main takeaway is that you can't take this from me. Even with one eye, even without sight, I will fight. And I'm going in here, like I said, this is not a game to me. This is not a 50-50. This is an all or nothing for me all the time. This is my life. And I go in there, you know, and put myself on display. I put my heart and my life on display. And I'm going in there with that, you know. You can poke me in the eye. You can swing. You can bite. You can bite. You headbutt. You can try every little cheap thing in the world. At the Lombard was cheating and stepping on my feet and elbowing and doing any little sneaky tactic you can do. I'm
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. It's kind of interesting, though, because I've actually got a buddy, Eric, who's wanting to really get into bare knuckle, and I feel like I've shown a couple people this fight who have a similar interest wanting to get into the sport. Like, I usually show them your Eric Lozano fight as, like, something to, like, really get someone enamored by the sport. But I guess I'm curious to, you know, put it to you. Like, is there a performance you've had that you would, I guess, want to show to, like, a new prospective bare knuckle fan to get them into it? Yeah, and I feel like you do such a great job of, like, really carrying the modern permutation of the sport forward. But it seems like you're a guy who appreciates history in a big way, too. Like, I really enjoyed seeing some of the recent posts of you, you know, recognizing Tom Molyneux and, you know, giving the bare knuckle championship to LL Cool J, who's a direct descendant of the first black bare knuckle champion. And, I mean, just such an amazing story with Tom Molyneux. So curious to get your insights on that there.
Yeah, well, I mean, from the standpoint of the BKFC fans and stuff like that, I might not appear to be a very emotional person, but to certain things and certain moments, certain situations, things will touch me. And that specifically touched me knowing that Tom Molyneux, was his story and how he fought his way from slavery and actually was able to free his family as well. And he was denied that bare knuckle belt as the champion. He was denied it because he was black when he went to London to fight. And 100+ years later, I got it. And I was like, whoa, you know, if that's not history, nothing is. And it might not mean everything to everybody, but we were denied a lot of shit here. And to fix it 100 years later, I think it needs to be recognized. You know, you will not deny me no more. You will not continue to deny me. Here I am.
Yeah, I just think that's one of those stories where it's like you almost have to check your pulse if that doesn't, like, inspire you. It's just such an amazing story, I think. So cool to hear that you were, you know, part of that event and everything.
Yeah, this is history in the making. Like you say, you there's no way you could revitalize or re-legalize bare knuckle without paying homage to what it was and what it is. Even when it comes to boxing and the lineage of boxing and the pride that certain families and people carry when it comes to boxing, there has to be the same type of respect garnered for bare knuckle boxing, which is the father
was going to say, it's almost like you're reading my mind. I was going to ask you about that, because that's something you've mapped out even as a goal in past conversations we've had. Like, how curiously are you following the, you know, heavyweight title picture with Belcher being stripped and the title's vacant now and all?
It's right on the cusp of history, forever history. I'm not talking about the kind of history you can easily repeat. I'm talking about world record shit, Guinness Book type magnificent things that's been done throughout our world. You know what I mean? Come on, man. Somebody's gonna have to say it's so close, you know, and Belcher knows it, which is why he vacated and bought himself some time. You get what I'm saying? What are they gonna do with that heavyweight strap? Will you continue to deny me after I stroke Chris Camozzi and make it look criminal? Will you continue to deny me? Explain why. Explain why I can't fight for the heavyweight championship of the world when I'm the most decorated fighter in BKFC history. Explain it to the fans.
Yeah, I feel like you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone that's, you know, putting that sentiment out there. You've very much earned that, and I think that's why so many people ask you about it, because it is such an intriguing, you know, viable proposition, too. But I do want to be mindful of your time, Lorenzo. I understand you're a busy guy, and definitely want to be respectful of that, but just wanted to put the ball in your court. Maybe if there's, like, a final parting thought you'd want to add as we're, like, wrapping up here.
I respect Chris Camozzi as a fighter, as a fighter throughout his life. I just believe that he's never went truly all in his career, and it shows in his style and his hit and miss record. He's never been able to reach that next level, and I am on that next level, and I've been on that next level, a level that he has not seen, and I'm going to show the world September 22nd when me and Chris Camozzi lined up in the Square Circle why I am the champ, why I am the best in the world. He doesn't know, he doesn't believe, he doesn't see it, but I will show the world again. I will show the world again why I'm the best.
It's always a pleasure getting to see you compete. I feel like you level up each time you get out there, and just such a compelling fight with Chris Camozzi here. So I really appreciate you coming on and giving such great insights ahead of BKFC 50, and definitely excited for September 22nd. But until then, you have a good rest of your day there, Lorenzo.